When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. We recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple. We recommend Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. That's where you can talk Heat all day long with other Heat fans and with us. More than 500 subscribers there now, so you'll find plenty of people with different opinions. You'll find your hero stands, your Jimmy stands, your Bam stands, and all the opposite as well, but without some of the clutter of Twitter. So check it out, $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed, as well as pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Prize Picks, the code 5. And yes, it does work in the state of Florida. Again, totally legal. Just got to play the lineups, and it's called Arena Game. You can go up to 4 different players that you can play across different sports. I can tell you, I've actually had more success since they switched the games than I did before. So check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick, and follow me to Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Before I get to it, I do want to mention we're expanding a little bit on the NBA side. We've been doing more national NBA coverage. Now we've got a team actually up in Orlando that's doing some Magic coverage for those of you in the central and northern parts of the state. Obviously, they had a good season this year, and they're an interesting team going forward. So check it out. It's a podcast called Magic Mania, and you're going to be able to find it on the YouTube channel. You'll be finding more NBA content from around the country as we go forward. But here we are still focused on the Heat. We are going to continue to focus specifically on the Heat, and we're going to focus again on Jimmy Butler. So this is the episode 3 of Jimmy Butler's. We just did a Tyler Hero episode. Alex and I spent about 20 minutes going through what teams Tyler would start for around the league. I think people found that compelling one way or the other. It seems to be a topic on Twitter today. But we're going to go back to Jimmy. First episode we did, Brady and Alex and I broke down Pat's comments, Riley's comments at his end of season presser. The second one, Greg and I kind of projected where this might go going forward. He and I have a different opinion on that, which is rare. So actually make sure you check out that app. And now Brady and I are going to talk about the on-the-court stuff because that plays into all of this. The question again becomes, how much are you going to pay a player if there's a perception that he's declining? Because then you're paying him for past performance instead of current or future performance. And so we want to get into whether or not he actually is declining or if it's just an availability issue. And I'm going to go to this, and we actually looked this up right beforehand, Brady, and this might play into your argument a little bit. Pat Riley referenced win shares the other day. For those who are not familiar with win shares, it's computed a bunch of different ways. In fact, Pat even said, I don't even know how they get to this. I don't even know how they get to it. But on the basketball reference site, they have a linked up site called StatHead, which I subscribe to, some subscribe to in our audience as well. And they use their own version of win shares. Okay, so basically what I did, Brady, was I put in players 33 or over this past year. Of course, Jimmy's 34. He's going to be 35. But I figured, all right, let's start it at 33. Players 33 and over this past year, and they sort them by win shares. Now, they're not sorting this by win shares per 48 minutes or win shares, on average per game. It's total win shares for the season. And there's a reason I wanted to do it this way. So we'll take a look at it. All right, so Brady, here are your top 10 in win shares, age 33 or over last year. DeMar DeRozan is number one at 9.2. Jimmy Butler is at number two at 9.1. LeBron, 8.5. James Harden, 8.4. Kevin Durant, 8.3. Mike Conley, 8.2. Dame Lillard, 7.7. Paul George, 7.3. Steph Curry, 7.2. Drew Holiday, 6.3. Then it gets to Al Horford, Brooke Lopez, Nikola Vucevic, Chris Paul, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, our old friend Kyle Lowry, Nicholas Batum, current Heat player Kevin Love, and then Patrick Beverley. Okay. Of those guys, the youngest on the top 10 list are actually Dame, PG, and Drew. Jimmy is kind of at 34. There's others obviously older. LeBron 39, Durant 35, Conley 36. But here's the other part of this, okay? If you actually did this win shares per game, Jimmy would be first. Because DeRozan played 79 games and Jimmy played 60. And so I'll go through this. And then again, I think this may lead to your point that I think is coming here. In terms of games played of the top 20, DeMar 79, Jimmy 60, LeBron 71, Harden 72, Durant 75, Conley 76, Dame 73, Paul George 74, Steph Curry 74, Drew 69, Horford 65, Lopez 79, Vucevic 76. You got to go all the way down to number 14, Chris Paul, who played 58, to find someone in that group who played fewer games or than Jimmy Butler, and most played at least 10 more than Jimmy, and some played as many as 19 more than Jimmy. What is your read on that?
I mean, I was, when you were naming those names, I was looking at the games played as you were going down it, and I'm like, every single one of these guys is in the 70s, and I was like, that's kind of the main point here. As we sit here and keep talking about availability problems, it's natural. I mean, the guy's turning 35. He's going to have dips in certain areas of his game. It happens to everybody. It happens, with Dwayne. It happened with a lot of these other guys, and they find other ways to be effective. And with Jimmy, I think you just see the efficiency around the rim. We've been talking about that for a while. That's kind of been the one that's dipped a little bit. But it still doesn't like strike you as a worry that he's tailing off. And I said that this past season. I know now another year that we're now – if Miami's looking to make another playoff run a year from now, like that's a long time from now for another age of Jimmy to go by. But I just haven't had that true worry of skill set drop off. I still think he could be a really effective player. I still think he is kind of one of the top, can be one of the top playoff performers just because I think his peak is just extremely high, even at this stage. But it really does come down to the availability thing. I think that in terms of, not only for himself and getting into a rhythm, because I know he does like to kind of ramp up in that way, as he's always talked about. But as we keep saying, like, Mike can't just live with it and keep being in the play-in. So it really comes down to that. You look at these other guys and these teams you're mentioning, like, the Western Conference is a different beast, and a lot of those guys you're mentioning is the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
But all those guys that are playing a bunch of games are battling to get in the playoffs and are fighting for positioning in the regular season. It feels like the LeBrons of the world, the Stephs of the world, James Hardens of the world, all those guys that you were mentioning are literally fighting for regular season position because they know how much of a bloodbath it is in the Western Conference. And it feels like because Miami knows what they're up against in the Eastern Conference, it almost is like, okay, we could take, like, if, let me ask you this question. I know this is a little off, but do you think Miami would have a different approach if they were in the Western Conference? Like, yes. If it was as competitive as the Western Conference, would they approach it differently?
I think so. I think there's an understanding in the East. Like, the East was pretty much what we thought this year. Mm-hmm. Like, we thought, okay, Detroit, Charlotte would lose a lot of games, as would Washington, right? They did. The reason that so many of those teams in the East got to the mid to high 40s in wins was they just fattened up on those teams at the bottom because you play the teams in your conference more often. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think we all projected Orlando would be improved because they showed that in the second half of the previous season. I don't know we necessarily thought they'd be in a 4-5 series. Philadelphia would have been better if not for the Embiid injury. Cleveland was kind of what was expected, even with their injuries. The Knicks may be a little better than expected, but again, they were a playoff team the year before. Milwaukee, it didn't gel the way people thought, but again, they still ended up, in a what was it, a three seed situation. And Boston, we thought was the class of the conference. So it was what it was. Now the West was just a mad scramble, and you're right. I mean, it basically had 11. If you added Houston in, they basically had 11 teams that were really trying to compete. And even the bottom end teams like Utah wasn't awful. Like they could get you on a given night. They're not like, Washington, although Washington did get Miami once. So I just think that, yes, I think the approach would have to be different. And I think there has kind of been a feeling that, okay, if we just get in, we're not afraid of Boston. That was the perception before this year, right? And everybody else we match up pretty well with. And we have Jimmy. So I feel like that did seep in here a little bit. I think it's really striking when you see the numbers though of the games. And I know that his side has kind of argued that most of these were legitimate absences. It was either approved personal reason absences by the Heat, or it was injury related and he couldn't go. And there were maybe a handful of games that he could have played, but he just didn't really feel like playing or feel like pushing it. And that I was told, was a handful and under five, actually. So that's what they would argue. But then again, why didn't these other guys not have those many missed games? Like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, I mean, again, it's hard to make an excuse, and we'll get into Jimmy's, on-court performance. It's hard to make an excuse for it when you've got DeMar's the same age and he's playing 79. Okay. Now they needed that to get into the play-in, but okay. I mean, LeBron is 39, he's playing 71. I mean, James Harden was traded. And I mean, we talk about his lack of commitment in certain areas, and yet he played 12 more games than Jimmy. Durant, who's had major Achilles surgeries and other surgeries, played 75. I mean, Conley is just, he's consistent. He plays. But Dame, look, for all the talk about Dame's, lack of fit and frustrations he may be having, he played 73 games. Paul George, who's had injuries in the past, played 74. Steph, who had the one season, he missed some time. But again, I mean, they rely heavily on Steph. They probably don't even make the play-in. They probably fall behind Houston if he doesn't play 74, but he played 74. So I guess I'm going through this list and I'm kind of like, all right, if these guys can do it, okay, with the exception of, and this is probably what Pat is saying, if these guys can do it, why can't Jimmy? If LeBron can play 71 games, why can't Jimmy? And I know there were circumstances this past year, but again, it becomes next year. If you don't have those, why can't Jimmy? And I've said I don't know how they stipulate that in a contract, but that is clearly the availability question. I guess, let's get to this. Is there any does his style of play lend to be him being out more? Because that was always an issue with Dwayne, and then Dwayne had to adjust. Is that because some of these guys are not like crash dummies like he is?
100%. I was just thinking about that, but the reason I dialed back on and on mentioning it was because, like, many of his absences that you're mentioning are not because, like, he took a hard foul at the rim because he put his head down and took a hard drive. Like, yeah, the one in Philly in the play-in game, but that was just a freak accident on a fast break where he kind of messed up his knee. But it's like a lot of these other injuries, I'm not really thinking it's because he's putting his head down a ton and going to the rim and just like taking shots on the way to the free throw line. But I will say, like, a lot of the guys you're mentioning, like the guys you're talking about that are aging, are translating more into perimeter players. Like even LeBron is taking way more threes and is kind of leaning in that direction. And a lot of these older guys are just kind of playing in that way that it's like, it's not that Jimmy has to coast in the regular season, but like maybe if you see him translate more to a perimeter player at times where he relies more on the mid-range jumper and the three, or even the three-point shot. I mean, he just shot 40% from three this past season. It's not crazy to say that he can continue to develop that, work on that, and say, okay, I could play this X amount of games more and just not have to get to the line 12 times. I could play my game and still be an effective offensive player, just doing it a different way. So many players in the past, I feel like, have done that. And look, Jimmy is not a straight line player. He never was. He wasn't when he got into this league. He wasn't when he has been on any one of these teams. He's never been like, okay, I'm good at this. Like he's just kind of an all around player. that has developed different things at different points. Look, he was a 3-point shooter in Chicago that was that took a bunch of threes. Then he stopped taking threes altogether, and he was just kind of went all like just stopped taking them. And now he's back to taking them again. Like he can alter his game, it feels like, season by season. He's just that kind of player. So I don't think it's crazy to say that regular season Jimmy can kind of lean more into a different style. I think that's the way we're heading. He kind of, I think, hinted at it this past offseason, when he started really working on the outside shot, where he was like, okay, like it still never looks the same when he shoots it, but it's effective. Like it works, it feels like, for him. So I just think that's going to be the thing. That's like, okay, he was sixth in free throws per game this past season. I think it was three 20-year-olds in their guys in their 20s. The number one was Joel Embiid, who's 30. And then I think DeRozan was number five in free throw attempts at the same number as Jimmy. So five and six, both 34 years old, was DeRozan and Jimmy. So it's like, maybe it's like, okay, I don't need to get to the line eight times a game in the regular season when I'm playing. If I try to play 70 games, it's okay, I can play my game in different ways. So I just wonder if there's that emphasis for him. If it's like, okay, if contract stuff aside, if all that stuff gets figured out and it's just about his game, I don't really have much worry about that. I feel like he could kind of figure that out and just try to just make it easier on himself, right? Like, I feel like that's the key here.
Well, it's make it easier on himself without coasting, right? Like that's the down thing. Because I keep coming back to this, and I see Barry tweeted about this, and I'm glad that some are finally coming around to this perspective. My issue again with Jimmy this year was not the missed games; it was the games he went missing in. that's more my thing, especially against the good teams. Like I just felt like.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weighted handle, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer, means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every time we said, well, this is a Jimmy game, it wasn't a Jimmy game. Like he did not. And that the concern then becomes, okay, is this, does he struggle against top 10 defenses because they're top 10 defenses? And physically he can't, either because of their length or their help or whatever it is, he can't be as effective. Or is he just, was it just a general coast throughout these games? He didn't really care which game it was that he was in or what opponent he was in. It was just certain nights he just didn't feel it or didn't feel like it. That's more, I would think about the Heat, that would be more my concern than him missing a few games. Is kind of like, all right, are we going to get the guy? Because the other part of this is too, if you go through this list, I don't know that there are a lot of coasters on that list. Like, I go through it. DeMar is not a coaster in any way. It's funny how DeMar's career has emerged here because people don't think of him like a great player, but a lot of his numbers ultimately, I mean, people can say he's a compiler a little like Joe Johnson was, but I mean, the numbers are good, at least during the regular season. And he is most similar to Jimmy in approach. He actually had 225 three-point attempts this year, which for him is a lot, although it was, I think, the lowest on this list. That's the other point here, as we get to it, which is Butler Of the top, you mentioned it took more threes. Well, of the top 15 guys, of the top 14, he took the on this list of age 33 or more in terms of win shares, he took the fewest threes still. DeMar, I think, took the second fewest threes, but still many more than Jimmy. But under it, you know, LeBron took 200 more threes than Butler. Harden obviously took 300 more threes. Durant, 250 more threes. Conley, 250 more threes. Dame, 450 more threes. Paul George, more than 400 more threes. And of course, Steph took 700 more threes. Even Drew, even Al Horford had double as many three-point attempts as Jimmy did. So as we kind of talk again about evolving the game, like, yes, you can take more threes, but he's not going to be a three-point shooter like them. Like, it's never going to be that. I want to get to the rim stuff afterwards, after this break. So let me introduce another sponsor here, and then we'll do that. I want to talk about our great friends over at Better Edge. You can use the code 5RSN there. You'll get $20 to play right away. This is legal sports betting. We know that there's another book here that's legal. And this is not a book. This is a market. There is a book that's legal in the state of Florida. But the problem there is, first, you got to take the line that they give you. And second, you got to pay the VIG. That is not the case with Better Edge. Better Edge, you can find the line that you want. There is no VIG. Get in on the NBA playoffs right now. We're also running contests during the NBA playoffs all this time. You can also bet NHL and more. So check it out. It's betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the code 5RSN. And you'll get $20 to play. All right, here would be the counter on, well, Jimmy's the same player, he just needs to play more, is that the rim percentage, his numbers at the rim this year, I mean, there was clear decline. Like, it's the percentages across the board. What do you attribute that to, and do you think that's reversible?
So here's the funny thing about that, because I know there's a lot of numbers out there about that declining. I've talked about that a lot, that's kind of the one area where you just want to see a little more efficiency, because I wouldn't say he's not able to get there. Like, he's been able to kind of get downhill when he feels like it, even in the regular season. But it was an interesting number, because he shot around 56% less than 10 feet from the basket this season. And let's just look back on last year's incredible playoff run. Like, all the performances he had, all the scoring bursts, it felt like he was on the peak of his powers. He shot 53.5% from the field less than 10 feet from the basket. So I think some of this may be exaggerated, if that makes sense, that I still think he's able to work around it. And it's more so about him getting down there, because in that playoff run, he was getting there over 10 times a game. Like, he was just putting his head down and getting there, that he can still do that when he feels like it. Now, is he going to get the same free throw attempts that he did in that playoff run because rules are changing? That's another conversation. And I think that's kind of, Ethan, probably a bigger topic here. And we're talking about Jimmy moving forward and his game developing and maybe trying to find different styles. Is the league is going toward not calling the fouls on type of players like Jimmy, like guys that are just putting their head down and running into people, which is funny enough. Like, usually you think you'd reward those guys, not the guys that are like doing the jump backs into jump shots and trying to force them. Like, Jimmy's just running into the lane into people, and the fact that they're taking those away are a little strange. But, and you mentioned the 3-point shot, Ethan, that he's the one who says every time you ask about shooting more threes, he goes, I don't want to shoot more threes. I just want to go run into people. But it's like, well, how many times are you going to do it in the regular season if you're trying to last? Like, if you're trying to play 70 games, I don't know how realistic that is. So that's why I think the style of play is interesting. But I just think that number is interesting, because we think we look so often at these numbers, but I really think it's more so about the amount of times getting there, the offense that they're running. I wonder if they, because they've always taken away the mid-range shot as often as possible, Miami does. Like, even when Tyler really started finding a flow with it, they were like, okay, take more threes, start flowing those into pull-up threes. I wonder if they're more lenient on Jimmy mid-ranges. Just because you're mentioning DeRozan and the way he does it. And I wonder if Jimmy could be more regular season DeRozan in terms of just the shot diet of taking more mid-range shots. I think he's a good mid-range shooter. Like, the ability to, like, find ways to attack, drop, and not have to run into the big and worry about, you know, twisting an ankle or taking a shot or trying to get to the line. Like, just take that nice little pull-up mid-range that he has and mix in maybe a little bit more threes. But I think just controlling inside the arc in that way could be a different gadget for him. But 100%, we still have to monitor the rim stuff, because it's been on a bit of a decline. It feels like over the last few years, slowly. But I still think, like I said, like that number provides, like, I think there's still ways for him to be effective with it. And maybe this isn't a thing about himself. It's more so the guys around him. Because, like, in that playoff run, he had the full range to do whatever he wanted. It was like, okay, if he's effective or not, he could still just go to the rim 11 times a night because he was it. So in the regular season, he's not going to have that freedom. So that's why I think they're going to have to mix it up a bit.
Okay, and now let's look at the other side then. Because Jimmy Butler came in the league mostly as a defensive player. Like, that was, you know, he didn't start any games as a rookie. He slotted in next to Rose, kind of waited his turn behind Luol Deng as another option there. Rose got hurt. Jimmy emerged. And then we really saw Jimmy emerge when he got his own team in Minnesota. I guess defensively, though, again, his ability to play the passing lanes, ignite offense that way. And we talked about activity a lot this year. And you know, the games that we knew he was good, he was getting to the line, he was getting steals. Where do we think that goes? You don't see a whole lot of guys in their mid to late 30s who are terrors defensive. I mean, they could be good positional defenders, but as far as, you know, and again, now we're talking about another knee injury. He's had ankle injuries, right? Like, this stuff does not make you, you know, does not help in terms of the quick twitch stuff and you know, to be able to make those plays. I mean, are we expecting him to be a plus defender as he ages? Because Dwayne really wasn't, actually, and people don't remember that. He kind of – Dwayne conserved himself on that end so that he still had something on the offensive end.
At the peak of his powers, 100%. Like, look what he did in that Philly game. Like, even with the injury, but before the injury, he was absolutely a terror defensively in that game. Like, the passing lanes you mentioned, those pick sixes, just positionally just switching on to everybody. He had the matchups. Like, he was guarding Maxey out the gate. Like, just – doing all that stuff, but I don't think it's realistic to say that's what you're going to expect in the regular season. If we're talking the word coasting and throwing that around, you're not going to get that defensive Jimmy every night. You're not going to be able to use that. That's emptying the tank. That's using up all his powers in the regular season. If you're expecting that guy to full out just go at it like Bam does, like switching around, trying to sprint for these pick sixes every single night, like that's not what I would think you'd expect. And look, they have enough wing defenders, and we expect them to bring one of them back in Haywood Highsmith that you'd expect to be guarding a lot of the better perimeter players and kind of be that switchy player. But he could definitely be an average to plus defender in the regular season, even when he's coasting, because just because of his physical ability, just because of I think more so there was points in the regular season where you want him to be like the off-ball stuff to be there, where it was like you just want him to be in the right spot and just continue to do that stuff. Like even the rebounding stuff, like just being able to attack defensively is more so what you'd want, because he has the ability to really defend at a high level, as we've seen that play in kind of in the playoffs last year and in that Philly game as mentioned. So I'm not too worried about that, I guess, when the time comes around, but like consistently, I don't think you're relying on that in the regular season. Would you agree? Like, I don't think that's something you're relying on.
Well, but again, I think he'll coast to a large degree on that end. Like I think that, you know, I go back to the Dwayne example. Like, Dwayne was an elite off-ball defender early in his career. I mean, he's the greatest shot blocking guard, particularly of his size, of all time. But you know, then we know, and look, even those of us who were Dwayne stans, like, he stopped running back on defense when he didn't get a call. And on the defensive end, like, you could hunt him, like, late in his career. You could hunt him.
And they're not at that point. You can't hunt Jimmy.
No, you can't hunt Jimmy. But they could hunt him, and they hunt him. Now, again, the thing about the big three, you know, group that nobody talks about enough is that there were very few places to hunt. You weren't hunting Rio, who never, I think, got enough credit as just handling his business defensively. Norris was a good defender. That's what he was drafted for. Shane was guarding up, but he always competed. We know that. That's how he made his name. Bosch became an elite pick-and-roll defender after not being a very, very good defender when he came. You know, you had Birdman playing off the ball, but there was no like hole there. Like, Ray was the guy that they hunted a lot when Dwayne wasn't in there, particularly late. And Ray was actually a decent defender earlier in his career. But again, this happens. Okay, this happens as you age. And LeBron took nights off defensively, even at that stage. Okay, but LeBron's was still at the peak of his athletic power. He can make up for it. That again becomes the question with Jimmy, because Jimmy has never been a LeBron athlete. I mean, no one is. And so I'm wondering where that goes on that end. And I feel like sometimes we focus a little bit too much on the offensive stuff. And really, you know, when this team is great, and Alex has talked about this, or has a chance to be great, it's because, you know, Bam and Jimmy are leading them defensively with the other pieces that they have around them. And that is just something I think to monitor going forward.
And then I guess the counter to that, though, is even when he is coasting, they're still top five defense. Like, defense is never the problem with this team. They find ways to cover it up, and it's such a credit to Bam with the fact that he, as Pat said, is available, but also is the anchor to everything they do defensively and can throw everything out and Spo could be a madman in that way, that they're still – they can make ways up for it in ways that they can't really for the offense. Like, they rely so heavily on, with this current roster, with this current construction, on Jimmy being a good offensive player that they can't really – when you say nights when he doesn't feel like playing or he's out, he's just kind of out there and he's kind of in the corners, they can't score. They don't have enough talent to like bypass that. They just don't. So like defensively, they can get by because of Spo and Bam specifically and just the different pieces, but offensively they can't. So the defense, I think we know what it is with him at this stage. And I still don't think we're really worried about it because we know what they're going to be defensively. The issue, as we need to talk about all offseason, is scoring the basketball. This is like, right. We always say, and I'm surprised, like Pat and kind of all like the other guys from the past will say like, oh, defense wins championships. And Miami praises that because of how good defensively they are. But it's like, there's almost an asterisk there. Like defense wins championships if you have like an average to above average offense. Like you can't just do what Miami does and just say, we're just going to defend like this every year and just expect to get there. They have to score eventually. They have to have some type of option consistently. And I think that's what kicks back to availability in some way. Like even when they felt like they were like, oh, okay, you're gaining a little bit of ground here with Terry in different options offensively and you're finding a rhythm. And then bam, now you're sitting here with no offensive options down in the playoffs. So availability is what we're going to keep kicking back to because it's what Pat mentioned. It's what we've been talking about all season. But look, they still don't really have it all together offensively, even when it's fully there. Let's just say that.
No, they don't, and that's going to be about changing the group in some way because I don't see how they get to a great offense with the personnel that they have. They don't. You're right. Spo can craft a defense with this group, but not an offense. But this does explain as we go through the numbers. I think it's a worthy exercise because it does explain like you can still play at a high level at his age. It's rare. That's why there aren't a ton of guys on this list. And it's why he was second in win shares of that group while only playing 60 games. He's still a high level player. It's just not, it wasn't high level enough at certain times for this team. And he wasn't on the court enough. And I think that's, again, how they get there contractually is that's the rough part of this. You know, if you're going to pay him into the future, he's clearly got to be providing that more. And you know, he will take care of his body. Like, I don't think that's a concern. The off the court stuff, that does not seem to prevent him from getting in the gym and getting in good shape. Like, that's never been a question here. This is not Kyle. He'll be fine in that regard. But again, anytime you start to pay someone as they get into their mid to late 30s, it does become a bit of a question. All right. Thanks to Brady. We appreciate it. Also, Better Edge, use the code 5RSN. Prize Picks, use the code 5. More episodes coming over the weekend. We will be transitioning to draft coverage at some point. But also, we're going to do a fun episode here. I might have to do this one with Greg, and I know where he's going to go with this. But there's a lot of Anthony Edwards comparisons to Dwayne Wade lately. So we might get into how real some of those are. My favorite player to watch in the league right now, as Dwayne was for a lot of people at that point. So we'll get into, you know, maybe their differences and kind of where they're at. But Edwards has a chance to do something at his age that really only Dwayne has done in the past 20 plus years, which is lead a team like that to a championship. So we'll see if Ant can do it. All right. Thanks again to Brady. Thanks to our listeners. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.